Thank you. I would like to express, first of all, a word of thanks to our brother Hugh Smith. If some of you sitting at the back notice that I have a big songbook, that's thanks to the kindness of our brother Hugh, who makes the print large enough for me to see the words. Then this week, he phoned me and asked if he could print for me in bigger print the passage that I'm going to preach from. And so this morning, I have the great pleasure of reading, hopefully clearly, from Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. I want you to come with me to Jericho and see what happened when Jesus came to that city. Mark 10, 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto the Lord, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What a story, an exciting story, all encompassed within 7 verses. One of the things I like about the Bible is its clarity and its brevity. It can say the truth ever so clearly in such a few words. And so this morning I'm going to ask you to go with me to Jericho and learn from this passage. Now, one of the things that I have that surprised me as I was reading this passage, there were quite a number of blind beggars in Palestine. There are quite a number of blind beggars in the Gospels. The unique thing about this man was he's the only one who's identified. Blind Bartimaeus. By the way, we'll have to keep a hold of ourselves when we get to heaven and we meet him. You won't say, "Oh, you're blind Bartimaeus." No, he's not blind Bartimaeus anymore. He has been given his sight by the Saviour. And that's the story that we are going to look at this morning. One of the miracles of Jesus. I've been trying this week to recall where I read it or heard it, but it was a statement that said his miracles were parables of power. His miracles were parables of power, and his parables were miracles of wisdom. That's quite a statement. And we're going to look at one of his miracles this morning. The first point I wish to make is the darkness in which he dwelt. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. That establishes the fact for us that he was blind. But it's not only recorded in the Gospels, it's repeated. 7 verses and 3 times we're told the fact that he was blind. 3 times in the 7 verses we're told he was blind. That's the state of every man and woman outside of Jesus Christ. We're told in the New Testament that we are dead in trespasses and in sin. We are told in the New Testament that our foolish hearts have been darkened. We are told in the New Testament that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them, and that they should be saved. The great statement is touching our blindness. Can you recall the day of your conversion? How it seemed as though the light had been switched on. Much of my time these days is spent in reminiscing. Looking back. Reflecting on occasions and incidents. And I remember, in the 1970s, we were conducting, the Barrymore team were conducting crusades in Ireland. In the time of the height of the Troubles, when you went to the gospel meeting with British soldiers encamped along the hedgerows, guarding the people as they moved into the gospel meeting. After one of those services, when the invitation was given, among the people who came forward was a young Irish lady, a teenager. She was paired with a counsellor, and they're sitting in the counselling room. And I, as the director, was supervising the operation. And I'm standing just watching. I had no rule to do, to fulfill, no thing to do, just watch. And suddenly I became conscious that the young lady to my right had raised her hand, which meant the counselor wanted help. And I looked round to see where the nearest advisor was, but he was too far away, so I turned to him. I said, "Can I be of any help?" And before the counselor could answer me, the young inquirer, the young Irish rebel, because she proved to be all of that, almost shouted at me in protest, "Do you know what she just told me?" I said, "No, I don't." "She told me that if I don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ, when I die, he'll condemn me." "I don't believe that." I remember the Scottish preacher who told me about the Irish. Not only do they know what they believe, they know why they don't believe. And this little inquirer certainly was in that category. "She told me that when I die, if I don't trust Christ, he'll condemn me. I don't believe that." I said, "Neither do I." And I had to I felt sorry for the counselor, because the explanation would have to wait. "He won't do that. He won't condemn me when I die." I said, "No, he won't do that. He's done it already." "Where were you reading?" "John chapter 3. I said, "Well, just go back and start reading it. You read it out loud." And she started to read the passage. John 3:16, John 3:17, John 3:18. And I can still see it yet. There's the young rebel, angry at what had been told her. And then she read, "He that believeth not is condemned already." And the light came on. I can still see it yet. See that little Irish rebel. And suddenly she reads the Word of God. And she learns that she hasn't to wait to the end of life to be under the condemnation of God, but that she is presently under the condemnation of God. The light came on. Her darkness was removed. And the light of the glorious gospel came. I remember in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in the Philharmonic Hall in the middle of the city, we had a crusade. And it's the only crusade in all my 18 years where in the counseling room the authorities had placed paper tablecloths on all the tables. I hadn't asked them to do that, but they did it. It was a blessing because one particular night among the people who came forward was a young fellow, young American. And he was counseled and counseled and counseled and counseled. And every counselor and inquirer had left. And the only two left in the building apart from the inquirer and the counselor was the chairman of the counseling committee and myself. And we're standing away quite a bit. And he says, "What are we going to do, Jim? He doesn't seem to be getting to the point." I said, "Let me walk down and I'll eavesdrop as I go by. And if I can help, I'll try." So I went down and I heard this counselor. I thought he was giving a theological address. And so I turned. I listened for a little while. I said, "Can I help?" And he starts to tell me his problem. He wasn't getting through. And I thank God for the paper tablecloths. For I reached into my pocket and I took out my pen. And I said, "What did you say you were reading?" "Romans chapter 10. I said, "Fine." So I drew a line and then I drew a horizontal line, like giving a cross. And I said to the young inquirer, "Now I want you to read Romans chapter 10 again to me. And I want you to tell me this category, what God has done for us." And so he starts to read and I jot down this. He tells me what God has done for us. I said, "Now, the next category is, what does God want us to do with what he has done for us?" And I can still hear that young American saying, as he's beginning to tell, he said, "I see it now. I see it now. He's provided Christ for my salvation and he wants me to trust him." I said, "That's right. Just you do that right now and I'll get out of the way." The light came on. The darkness in which he dwelt was removed by the Spirit of light. How many of us here tonight or this morning have been in that category? We've read the Bible. It hasn't made sense to us. We're not conscious of our need of a Savior. And then there comes a moment when there's a breakthrough in the darkness and the light of the glorious gospel shines in. I was so glad that the music team sang, "There is victory in Jesus." I have an association with that hymn when we lived in London, Betty and I. There was a Christian doctor in our assembly, a big man, not just physically, but in heart, in generosity, in ability. And every time he preached, he asked for that hymn to be sung. There is victory in Jesus. The darkness in which he dwelt. Have you difficulty making sense of the gospel story? Have you difficulty in seeing the truth clearly? Then here's what to do. Do what Bartimaeus did. The darkness in which he dwelt, sitting by the highway side begging. And he heard the multitude passing by. And he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now remember, it's an outside story, but he was housebound. He was blind. He couldn't go anywhere independently. But there was within that, the heart of that man, a desire to see God's light. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, there came to the surface of his heart all the longing, all the desire to be free of the darkness in which he dwelt. Now, how did he know? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, this is Jericho. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, I wonder, I am quite sure, that 2 or 3 years before, when Jesus stood in the synagogue at Nazareth and stood up for to read, and there was given to him the scripture, and he read from the scripture in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty them that are bound, to give sight to the blind." And that word had filtered through from Nazareth up to Jericho. And that blind man sat longing for the day when possibly Jesus of Nazareth might pass through his streets. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David." We have talked, you and I, we have talked to many people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they have no desire. They have no spiritual interest. That wasn't the case with this man. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The deliverance that he desired. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you want to become a Christian? Do you desire to know Jesus? For some people the answer will be, "No, I have no interest." Not Bartimaeus. "Wilt thou be made whole," said the Saviour to a man by a pool of water. "Wilt thou be made whole?" Is the desire in your heart to come and know Jesus Christ? When I look back in my life, I was 14 and a half before I trusted Christ. I had heard hundreds of gospel messages, but I wasn't interested in coming to Christ. I had no interest in being a Christian. In fact, I was the youngest of a family of eight. There were benefits in being brought up in a Christian home. But there were restrictions, and I didn't like the restrictions. And there were things I lost because of being in a Christian home. If anyone had said to me, wilt thou be made whole? My answer would be, no. I'm fine the way I am. But here it is. Here's Bartimaeus sitting in his darkness, longing for the day when he might hear the gospel news that Jesus has come. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. How much have you learned about the Christian faith? How much have you learned about your own personal condition and relationship to God? What has that done in your thinking? Has it moved you at all, or are you just not interested? Would God that there were Bartimaeus is amongst us this morning. Would God that there might be a heart and an ear that hearing the good news that Jesus Christ has come, and he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wouldn't it be great if someone said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's great when there are interruptions in gospel meetings. It's great when there's interruptions in Christian services. Sorry for going back to Ireland. We had to start the service 15 minutes ahead of schedule because the tent was full, all the flaps were down right round, and there were 2,000 people outside who couldn't get in. So we started the service ahead of time. Packed. Hardly room to move. And I was sitting on the platform feeding the cord from the microphone, which was attached to Barry Moore's jacket. And I'm busy turning this way, then that way. And the preacher turns this way, so I follow him. And suddenly, standing right there, was a tall man. I didn't know who he was. I looked at his pant legs and I saw a bulge in his pocket, and I thought, he's got a hand grenade or a bomb in his pocket. Everything froze. And Barry Moore turned and he froze. And he said to me later, I thought, this is it. He's going to blow us up. So he walks to the front of the platform, puts his hand down onto the shoulder of this young man. What can I do for you? He said, Sir, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ now. And everybody relaxed. In the will of God, sitting over to my right was another crusade director, an Englishman, who jumped off the platform, came alongside the young fellow, and took him to the counselling room. We learned the story of God's amazing grace that very day. There had been a shootout between the IRA and the British forces, and numbers were killed on either side. In the fray was the young man standing in front of the platform. Christian soldiers in the regiment had said to him, come to the crusade. No, I don't want anything to do it. No. After the shootout, and after they'd been debriefed in the barracks, he says, are you going to the crusade tonight? Will you take me with you? And they took him. And Peter Williams, that was the name of the young English soldier, scared of losing his life that very day, came face to face with the reality of his position before God. And so he steps out. Service had only been going 15 minutes when he stepped out and he said, "I want to give my life to Christ now." Oh, that the Spirit of God would seize our hearts in all their poverty and blindness and propel us to the cross of Christ and get from our lips the statement, "I want to give my life to Jesus Christ now." Bartimaeus, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The deliverance he desired. You probably have difficulties with this next one. The determination he deployed. You say, "That's not a missionary word. That's not a Bible word. That's a military word." That's right. But watch what this man did. He wanted above everything else to get his sight. And he had heard of the one who said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me, among other things, to give recovery of sight to the blind." "He's come for me," Bartimaeus says. "He's come for me, and I'm coming to him." He deployed. It's a military word. Yeah, it's a military word. But we're in a battle. That's why we were singing the victory in Jesus. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them, and that they should be saved." God is fighting. God is battling against the forces of unrighteousness and darkness, and he's sending the light. I was thinking this morning of that old hymn we used to sing. "Far, far away, far, far away, in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever would be lost. But God has sent the light. He sent it in the person of his Son, and he has come to win men and women to Jesus Christ." It's not an easy thing to come to Christ. And yet God has removed all the obstacles. But it's not an easy thing. That's why the Saviour says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." This poor man was resisted by the... As he began to go, they said, "Shh, keep quiet." But he cried so much the more. He increased the tempo. This was life or death. This was his moment of meeting the Saviour. And he was not going to allow anything to come between him and his salvation. The determination that he deployed. He increased the tempo. He increased his desire. He shouted louder to catch the attention of the Saviour. But this little story, seven verses. And it's exciting. There's the crowd moving, and there's the beggar shouting, and there's the Saviour listening. "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee." And God is true to his word. And this poor blind beggar called. And the Saviour stood still. I find the Son of David, the King of Israel, the royal Son of heaven, I find this exciting. I see him moving through the crowd in all his regal dignity. and he hears the cry of a blind sinner. And he stopped. And he stood still. I like what the writer says here. And he commanded him to be brought unto him. Jesus is in full control of the situation. And he commanded him to be brought unto him. The book of Proverbs says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And that was never so well demonstrated as in Jericho that day. And he stood still and commanded him to. And he came. And he came. I'd love to see a picture of it. I wish an artist had captured it. The blind man standing there with his sightless eyes, looking into the face of the Saviour. And Jesus says, what wilt thou I shall do unto thee? What do you expect of me, say? Lord, that I may receive my sight. He knew his need. He knew that this one standing before him, whoever he was, the son of David, if he had mercy on him, he would give him a sight. And he did. And he did. And immediately, we used to sing in a choir back in Scotland, a gospel choir, and this was one of our cantatas. I almost feel as singing the passage to you, but it would dismiss the audience. And Jesus said unto him, what wilt thou that I shall do? Lord, we can only catch the pathos. Lord, that I may receive my sight. Listen to the scriptures. And immediately he received his sight. When Jesus speaks, his word comes with power and authority, and he came to the light of God. Or rather, the light of God came to him. But that's not the end of the story. And he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The devotion that he displayed. I don't know how long he sat in Jericho begging, but those days were gone. He had met the Saviour. He had experienced the life and light-giving touch of the Saviour. And he followed Jesus in the way. Another passage says, and he followed Jesus in the way, glorifying God. How long is it since you met Jesus? Are you still following him? Are you still glorifying God? I trust as we've looked at this brief story of Jericho and the blind beggar Bartimaeus, that the light of God has touched your heart and the love of God has warmed it, so that you're glad that Jesus of Nazareth has come your way. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for the record of thy word. We thank thee for the stories of the men and women who came to Christ, or to whom Christ came. And we pray that it may be repeated here in this chapel again and again and again, as men and women are brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the glorious gospel. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.